Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Do you tremble at his word? Are you awestruck by God? Twice in the last week, chapel speakers have had to admonish students to pay attention. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Open your hymn books to hymn number 4, verse 1. And note that in the second line, of verse 1, it says, "And with awe appear before him." Think about that as you sing verse 1. Himself is present at this moment and in this place. For he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Therefore, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Fear, tremble. We've grown so accustomed, or have we? Have we grown so accustomed to the name of God? Grown so used to having his word that we no longer understand what the fear of the Lord is? Has the proliferation of Bibles all around the world resulted in this, that we no longer tremble at his word? When is the last time that you actually trembled when you knew that God was present? Define fear. Well, this being a Christian school and you having learned definitions, you probably would define fear as reverence or respect. But then, what do those words mean in this day and age where reverence and respect is rarely found? How do we know what it means? Listen to the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Truly, there are many superior blessings that accompany fear. However, if we are to look at a dictionary definition of fear, we come up with something like this: an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. Indeed, fear is unpleasant if it is caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. Then fear is equal to terror, to dread, to fright. Such is the case for those who do not know the love of God in Christ Jesus. Any honest thought about God on their part brings terror to their hearts. That's the way it's going to be on the last day when Christ comes in the clouds of heaven. Then we will see men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. God himself instills this kind of fear when he proclaims, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them." Truly, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The law produces this kind of fear. Such fear, such terror, is actually better than no fear at all. For it drives the sinner to search for God. However, he cannot find him on his own. Man's self-made work-righteous pathways to God leave their hearts cold with fear, the terror of death and of eternal torment. Their religions do not calm their fears. On the other hand, fear is all we need. But now, you see, we've made a transition from fear to fear. We have crossed the mountain. On the other side of the mountain, the sun of God's goodness was not shining, and fear was an ice-cold terror. On this side of the mountain, his grace in Christ shines in all its brightness and warmth. And for us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. On this side, we rejoice with fear and trembling. The mountain of fear is the same. The difference depends upon which side of the mountain one stands. On the other side, God was seen as angry and vengeful. On this side, God is seen as loving and forgiving and saving. The difference is Jesus. And for us, it was Jesus who reached out onto that cold, dark side of the mountain and drew us to the other side, carried us over. And he did this with simple words: "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." The mountain is the same. Fear and fear. But on this side, when we tremble, it is not for fear of anger and vengeance. We are still afraid to violate God's will, but not because he's going to do something bad to us if we do it, because his anger has been fully spent on Calvary. Rather, our fear is now such that kind of loving reverence for him that makes us want to do whatever we can not to grieve him, not to make him sad. In the fear of the Lord, we hate what he hates, and we love what he loves. We hate falsehood and evil. We love truth and righteousness. We serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. When Christ returns in the clouds of heaven, others, trembling in terror, will cry out to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us." But we, also trembling, but trembling in joy, will lift up our heads, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Those who see Jesus as an almighty enemy fear him in terror. Those who see Jesus as their loving Savior fear him in loving reverence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. of knowledge, of confidence, of life. We pray. Lord God, you are fearful in all your wonders. Grant unto us all that fear which places you first in our lives, in our dreams, and in our hopes. Give us a heart that trembles at your word and seeks only your pleasure in Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse 3.